Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake joined by Matt, who is in quarantine. I'm the only person I feel like in the whole country who has to go to work, but Matt's just hanging out at home all day.
Well, now hold on. When you say that I'm in quarantine, I don't have to go to work. That's not what in quarantine means.
Isn't quarantine mean you have to stay in your house?
Yeah, I don't have to stay in my house, though. Like, I can leave. I've just been asked not to go to work.
See, I've been asked to go to work.
Yeah. See, what I'm doing is called, there's a couple names. You could call it self-isolation, where I choose to stay in the house as much as possible. There's social distancing, where I choose not to gather into groups of 10 or more, or, you know, not to eat out at restaurants and those sorts of things. So, a lot of stuff. But yeah, I'm free to go as I please until I test positive, which until I have any symptoms, I'm probably not going to be able to get a test. So,
see, life is normal for me because I have to go to work. The only thing that's not normal is the gym in my apartment and the gym I go to got closed because of Corona. So there's one gym I found in Arizona that's open. And according to them, they're going to stay open unless mandated by law to close. So I am getting a new gym membership tomorrow.
Hey, there you go.
I also got one of those like in-home pull-up bar things. So I'll be doing a lot of pull-ups.
Nice. That's good.
Except I won't be doing a lot of pull-ups because I just had surgery and I'm like just starting to be able to work out from that. And I can literally do two pull-ups. So I won't be doing a lot of pull-ups. I'll be trying to do a lot of pull-ups, but...
Well, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah. Well, Matt, the one thing saving grace from this whole thing is NFL free agency has begun. Today's Tuesday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Matt.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I'm realizing I have a green blanket, but I'm not wearing anything green.
I literally didn't even realize it was St. Patrick's Day till I got to work, and literally no one was wearing green, and I was like, oh, this is the worst St. Patrick's Day in the world.
Yeah, seems like it wouldn't be an Arizona thing.
Yeah, my friend flew to Chicago, and then the parade got canceled, so she was kind of bummed out.
Oh, she flew for the parade?
Yeah.
That stinks. Well, didn't you buy her tickets? Because it got canceled, like, last Friday.
She got them a while ago, because her boyfriend lives out there, so she was going to go with him. So she still went and hung out with her boyfriend, but she didn't get to go to the parade.
Too bad. Did they dye the river green, I wonder? Because I think it'd still do that, right? Nobody.
I don't think they did, because I think that encouraged people to come out. So from my understanding, wow. If we're incorrect, let us know. But from my understanding, they did not dye the river green.
Well, that is, you know, first we lose our sports, then we lose the green river. You know, things just keep getting worse.
You know, the Bulls, Chicago Bulls green jerseys, I think are some of the, like, the best, like, one-off jerseys in all sports. I love their green jerseys.
They're good. Now, have they been doing that the last couple of years with Nike, do you know?
You know, they've been so bad, I don't know, honestly. I would assume so, but I guess I haven't seen one.
Yeah, because I know they were doing it with Adidas. Now, do you know why? Like, Chicago doesn't strike me as the Irish capital of America. I think of New York. I think of Boston with lots of Irish people. But Chicago's definitely the St. Patrick's Day place. That's interesting.
Chicago takes it the most serious, for
Can
sure.
You guys tell we have a lot to talk about this week?
It's going to be great. I'm literally looking at, like, Atlanta Falcons defensive tackle signings, thinking of stuff to talk about. We are going to talk about NFL free agency. There is some stuff we need to talk about. And then we're going to talk about some of our favorite sports movies to fill the time. I think I got one that I think doesn't get talked about enough as far as sports movies go. So I'm excited about that. And I don't even know if you've seen it all the way through, Matt. So we'll get there. But, Matt, I think we have to start both alphabetically and just, I think, in terms of biggest shock for me, with the Arizona Cardinals and the DeAndre Hopkins trade. More importantly, what in the world is wrong with Bill O'Brien? Like I legitimately don't understand what goes on in Bill O'Brien's head. I don't like to be the guy who says someone needs to get fired, but if he still has a job after all the trades he's done with DeAndre Hopkins and Laremy Tunsil last year, just as an example, I do not know why I'm not a general manager if he is one.
Right. Well, what was weird to me is, like, I hadn't heard anything that DeAndre Hopkins wanted to leave. Like, I felt like he was in Houston for all those years with terrible quarterbacks, and then he finally got Deshaun Watson. They were beating the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs last year. You know, it seemed like things were looking up for him in the Texans. So, like, you only, like, there's no way that Bill O'Brien wanted to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. It doesn't seem possible that he's like, you know what's holding us back from a Super Bowl? David Johnson. Like, I don't think that was it. So it almost seems like DeAndre Hopkins had to ask for a trade. But even if that's the case, you should still be able to get one, if not two, first-round picks, particularly given what happened with the Stephon Diggs trade. Because DeAndre Hopkins, like, I like Stephon Diggs, but DeAndre Hopkins is better than Stephon Diggs.
Well, I was going to mention that, Matt. Two things that you pointed up. And I have the hiccups, so I do apologize. I feel like I should see a doctor about my hiccups. Like, I have them all the time. So, from what I've read, DeAndre Hopkins right now is getting paid about $16 million a year, which is under what Julio Jones is making. It's under what Odell Beckham Jr. is making. So, technically, he's undervalued. And it still has three more years on his contract. So, he wanted to restructure his deal, redo his contract to make him higher paid than at least he is right now, and Bill O'Brien didn't want to do that. But you point out Stephon Diggs, Matt. This is what the Vikings got for Stephon Diggs, who, you're right, is no DeAndre Hopkins, as good as Diggs is. And I like Diggs a lot as well. The Vikings got, this is unbelievable, a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and a 2021 fourth-round pick for Stephon Diggs, and a seventh-round pick. And Bill O'Brien got a old running back and a second round pick. Yeah, is what O'Brien got. If I'm Deshaun Watson, like, I would just be so mad right now.
Right, yeah, because especially now, like, I remember when we were growing up, like, a fourth round pick was like, you weren't sure he was going to make the team. Now, like, those fifth and the sixth round picks, they're going to, like, play, and they're going to be on the roster. I don't know if they're going to, they might be special teams guys, but just because of rookie deals, having all those cheap deals is going to be super, super valuable.
Have it, you're right, because you're paying, especially if you're paying a quarterback, like Houston's going to have to pay Deshaun Watson, having as many shots at, even if it's a low percentage, like a fifth round pick, sixth round pick, you're going to get someone, having as many shots of the dartboard as you can is crucial to team building. And not getting a first-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins when Stephon Diggs got one, when you look at the Odell Beckham Jr. trade last year and what the Cleveland Browns had to give up to get Odell Beckham Jr., it just honestly doesn't make any sense. Like, you wonder, like, did Bill O'Brien call Buffalo? Did he call, like, San Francisco? They would do that in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? They would do a second that. I just don't. San Francisco traded their defensive tackle, DeForest Buckner, who is really good, but they got a first round pick from Indianapolis for him.
Yeah.
No, and that's a tackle, not wide receiver.
Right. I mean, yeah, we're going to see what happens with the Cardinals, but, you know, I think that's a great weapon for Kyler Murray. And so I'll be surprised if Bill O'Brien doesn't get fired and this doesn't go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history. Like, it's hard to see that not happening.
What's sad is he is a good, at worst, he's a really good offensive coordinator. I wonder, it's kind of like Chip Kelly, where I thought Chip Kelly was a good head coach, and then when he got in trouble in Philadelphia is when he started doing personnel stuff. I think you agree with me on that.
Yes, I do.
Like, I think Chip Kelly, like, he was a good head coach, and the Eagles went 10-6 for their first couple of years he was there. And they started doing personnel stuff, trying to outsmart everybody. And the really smart people don't try to outsmart everybody. Like, the Eagles GM, Matt, while we're on the Eagles subject, a couple of years ago, he was quoted as, "We know that we're not better at drafting than everybody else, so we need as many picks as we can get." You know, like, understanding that especially the draft, for the most part, random, and it's impossible to predict what 21-year-olds are going to project out to be. and just getting as many shots as you can. That's what smart people do. Not smart people try to prove how smart they are by doing dumb stuff like this.
Right. Yeah. Especially when Chip Kelly was problematic, because after a couple of years, he stopped being a novelty. But you're right. Like, you don't trade LeSean McCoy. They were paying LeSean McCoy that much for a reason. You know, we needed better cornerbacks than we got for a reason. The Seahawks didn't want to pay Byron Maxwell as much money as they did for a reason. Like, yeah, you're just right. Everybody else is smart, and so you should do – you want to try to be better. You don't have to do exactly the same things, but if you're doing something totally different, more often than not, you're going to be wrong.
Yeah.
But this wasn't even that, you know? Like, this wasn't trying to be different. I feel like this was just a bad decision.
It was just a bad decision. You wonder, like, did he not call literally any other team in the league? You wonder. Like, do you not think, like, Moore would have done that for a second-round pick?
Oh, yeah. I feel like the Eagles would have done that without even, like, questioning it. I feel like every other team would have.
The Eagles would have literally done it on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know who else would have done it? The Bills.
Yeah, the Bills. Literally anyone.
like if you just call us, like, hey, we heard you're giving up a bunch of picks for Stephon Diggs. How would you like to have DeAndre Hopkins instead? Boom.
You know what's going to be scary about Arizona next year is they got Kyler Murray is going to be unleashed. They got DeAndre Hopkins. And Larry Fitzgerald is in his 47th year in the NFL is coming back. They can either draft like CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. They'll be in good position to draft one of the top two wide receivers coming out. Or they can draft a right tackle. It's looking like they're going to draft a right tackle. Probably Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. But if they draft like CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy with DeAndre Hopkins and you have Kyler Murray there, think how unbelievable that offense is going to be. Like, Cliff Kingsbury is – cannot be happier than he is right now.
Yeah. They're going to do some fun stuff. They'll still be a little bit of ways, I would think. But yeah, they're going to be able to do some really interesting things. Like, I suspect it'll be like when Chip Kelly first got to the NFL, they're going to do that fast, you know, college type stuff, Kansas City Chiefs sort of things. And it's just whether or not people are going to catch up to him. But it's definitely going to be fun. Whatever happens, it's going to be fun.
I think they can score enough points to get the 10 wins and flirt with the wild card. We still got to see how everything shakes out, but their offense is going to be problematic enough for everybody. Matt, trivia question for you. Remember when Josh Norman was the best defensive player in the league?
I don't know if I would have said the best, but I know when he was like, you know, top three or whatever.
Guess where he signed.
Oh, I heard this. It's Buffalo, isn't it?
It is Buffalo. I honestly didn't realize that until I was reading through this. So I'm impressed you did. Yeah, Josh Norman's in Buffalo. He went for, like, nothing. No one talked about him once he got to Washington. And other than those fights with Odell Beckham Jr., his play dropped off super fast.
It was weird. And he kind of came out of nowhere when he was with Carolina, too. Like, I feel like he was just – I'd never heard of him. And then he was the best cornerback in the league for a year and a half. And then he just wasn't good.
It really was, it turned out to be like, for the most part, not exactly, obviously, but for the most part, a one-year wonder situation with Josh Norman. And Matt, while we're in Carolina, they had one of the more interesting signings, I thought, in the whole league, and especially with Tom Brady, who we're going to talk about later and everything else, it didn't get talked about a whole lot. But they signed Teddy Bridgewater, Matt, to a three-year, $63 million contract, and they basically pushed Cam Newton out the door. Joe Brady last year, who's offensive coordinator for the Panthers this year, was at LSU last year and blew up. Everybody was talking about how good of a coach he was, helped Joe Burrow win the Heisman, LSU win the national championship. The year before, he was in New Orleans with Teddy Bridgewater. So Teddy Bridgewater comes into a system he knows, gets to play with Christian McCaffrey. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because I'm pretty excited about that signing.
Yeah, I think it's a really good signing. I feel like, you know, with how much quarterbacks are being paid right now, $20 million a year is pretty good. You know, obviously we'll see if Teddy Bridgewater is playing with the Carolina Panthers and not the Saints, you know, I don't expect the same level of production. But he was a really good quarterback with the Vikings. I'm sure he learned a lot from Drew Brees, and he did come in, and when he did have playing opportunities, he played very, very well for the Saints. And so, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense for both parties.
The Saints went 4-1 with Teddy Bridgewater in the quarterback when Drew Brees missed those five games due to his thumb injury or thumb surgery. In Minnesota, they were really good with Teddy Bridgewater before he shattered his leg. They were Super Bowl contenders before he shattered his leg in that training camp. Then they brought Sam Bradford in, and that was the whole thing for a few years in Minnesota. But Teddy's biggest criticism is really just his arm strength, that he can't make every throw. But he does so many things, I think, so well. I'm intrigued to see Carolina. I don't think their offensive, other than Christian McCaffrey, I don't think they're that good on offense. So I'm interested to see what they do with the seventh pick if they draft, like, a defensive player, maybe Derek Brown from Auburn. If Isaiah Simmons is there from Clemson, it's hard to see them not taking him. If they try to trade back, maybe they draft a receiver. Maybe they draft CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. So Carolina and Arizona are both not contenders, but interesting teams to me, 100% with what they've done. And I'm excited to see what they do in the draft. Let's see. Cleveland signed Matt. I played high school football against this guy. Do you know Austin Hooper, the tight end from Atlanta, went to Stanford?
What high school do you play for?
Bingham.
Oh, that I could have guessed that. It does not sound familiar, but it also does not surprise me.
Yeah. So this kid I played, I mean, when I say played, I think he is either freshman or sophomore my senior year. And so I might not even, I don't remember like him specifically, but I just know he was in high school the same general time I was, but he signed the highest contract value for a tight end in the NFL, and it's about $11 million a year, so it's not like huge or anything. I think he's a good player, but he's not like Travis Kelce or George Kittle, so I think the Browns overpaid for it, but shout out to Bingham High out in Salt Lake City for getting that. Case Keenum signed with the Browns, Matt.
Good for Case Keenum, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to go through the list really quick here. Amari Cooper signed with Dallas. He got $100 million, $60 million guaranteed. So no surprise other than – I think – let's get to Miami unless there's another team. Like, we got to talk about Indianapolis really quick.
Real quick, can I just say about Dallas, they are going to have the highest paid receiver. Their quarterback is, I believe, a top three quarterback right now. They have the highest paid running back. I believe they have a top three paid offensive lineman, and I think they also have a top three defensive lineman in terms of salary. And so that is a lot of money at the top of the team. I just wanted to draw attention.
Well, and Dak hasn't even gotten his contract yet, Matt. So that's just what Dak will get, but he hasn't even got like his actual contract yet.
Right. But with the franchise tag, he's still going to get $30 million this year if that happened, right?
Yeah, I think from understanding the franchise tag is like the average of the top 5 or 10 salaries, which is going to be over $30 million, like at your position. So it's going to be over $30 million. And I don't see why they're doing that. They're just, it's what Kirk Cousins did in Washington. Like, it's just costing Dallas more money by not just giving him the contract. So,
right.
They lost. But yeah, let's talk about Indianapolis. That's the next like interesting team, I think. So we talked about DeForest Buckner. Did we talk about DeForest Buckner?
You mentioned it. You didn't say too much.
So the Niners traded one of their defensive tackles from Oregon, who they for like 4 years I feel like they were drafting defensive tackles from Oregon in the first round. But they traded DeForest Buckner to Indianapolis. 49ers got the first round pick. So they got DeForest Buckner at defensive tackle. They're pairing with Darius Leonard, who is a third-year middle linebacker, won defensive rookie of the year, made the Pro Bowl as a rookie. So that's going to be a fantastic middle of the defense. The Colts have one of the best rosters in the league. They re-signed their left tackle, Anthony Costanzo. And this is the big one, headline at least. They signed Phillip Rivers from the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't know how good Phillip Rivers is going to be. They don't have a first-round pick, but if they can get another receiver, I feel like that's where they need the most help is a receiver. Indianapolis might have, as how we thought Philadelphia maybe was going to be last year, like roster top to bottom, one of the best rosters in the NFL.
Well, I hope it works out better for them than it did for us.
Let me just see where Indianapolis Colts. Yeah, I don't, especially because like the division's not very good. So
yeah, that's true. They got that going for them.
And I don't think Phillip Rivers is going to be fantastic, though. If I'm being honest, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, that. Well, he is 40, whatever.
Yeah, and Phillip Rivers is fantastic. So the Colts have two picks in the second round. So they can get a pretty good receiver there. They just traded so they don't pick in the first round, but if they can add like a Michael Pittman from USC, KJ Hamler from Penn State, Tyler Johnson from Minnesota. I'm trying to think of the receivers are going to be in the second round. You know, there's going to be a lot of good receivers available. So Indianapolis, I think, is they're as big a lock as anybody to win their division, in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Well, especially now the Texans don't have DeAndre Hopkins. I think that's true. They would be my pick. So real quick, my favorite coronavirus tweet that I've seen is somebody I wish I remembered who it was, but they retweeted whatever that either the CDC or the president is asking that people don't gather in groups more than 10. And so somebody retweeted that and said, oh, shoot, Phillip Rivers is going to have to get rid of one of his kids.
That is kind of funny. It's probably true, too.
Yeah, he's got, is it 8?
Let's Google it. Phillip Rivers children.
He's got a lot.
Gunner, Claire, Anna, Haley, Grace, Caroline, Sarah, Rebecca, and Peter. According to the interweb, he has 9 children.
So he would have to get rid of one child according to the CDC recommendations.
Or his wife.
Or his wife, that's true. I don't know. One of those older kids is probably ready to go out on his own, you know, go to college online.
His kids are pretty cute. I'm looking at them online.
Good for them. Hey, you know, I mean, if you're going to have more than 3, I feel like you've had a pretty good experience so far, right?
Yeah.
So
no, good for him. I like the name Gunner. Brandon Flowers has a kid named Gunner.
Love Brandon Flowers.
I like the name Claire. Haley is spelled Halle, which I don't love.
Oh, this is going to be a long couple of months, guys, just so you know. It's going to be a lot of this, us finding any tangent we can and just going off.
Let's have an episode just ranking Phillip Rivers' kids' names and doing a breakdown.
Okay. Deal. I mean, yeah, if anybody's got any better ideas, feel free to tweet them at us. But until then, it's going to be stuff like that.
I think David Beckham haircuts is a good idea, if I'm being honest.
That's not a bad idea. I think it would be better for a YouTube video than a podcast.
So we could like show. Yeah, that makes sense. So we can show some of them.
Yeah. It's a good idea. No, we've got some stuff. We'll be brainstorming. Like Jake said, we're going to go over the sports movies today, and you know, we'll have things like that. It should be a good time. So especially, I know a lot of podcasts and TV shows are getting canceled, so we still want to be able to give you something.
Sorry for my cat making a bunch of noise.
Hey, never apologize for Posey.
I love you, Posey. She's kind of bored. Now let's go to the Raiders because they made some interesting things. So a couple headline ones, couple I think underrated signings that aren't getting as much news just because of the name, but it's important still. First, they signed Marcus Mariota to compete with Derek Carr. Both general manager Mike Mayock and John Gruden loved Mariota coming out of Oregon, and I think he's going to look fantastic in a Las Vegas Raiders uniform. Imagine Mariota in that silver helmet with that black uniform.
Yep.
He's got like Oregon's black helmets. When I was in Oregon, when I was in Eugene on my visit up there, they had this whole Marcus Mariota. I imagine he paid for it, but like this performance facility thing. They just had a ton of stuff about Marcus Mariota, and it was so cool. He's going to look great, though, in the Raiders uniform.
See, I think that the Raiders have the most overrated jerseys in the NFL.
I mean, I have to think about it, but I just like black and white or black and silver. I think those colors, like in high school, I thought Alta High had the best uniforms just because they were black and white. Like, I thought they were so cool. Like, I just like
the team. But don't I think gray is better than silver. I also think that their logo with the pirate and the sword, I think that's kind of corny. Like I don't know what I would rather have them have. I just feel like the pirate and the cross swords is just really, really derivative. And so I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I don't like, I will say I don't love the logo. And if the face masks were black instead of silver, I think it'd look a little bit cooler.
Yeah. No, I think the white jerseys are better than black. And I just think, yeah, I think gray would do a lot better than silver would.
Maybe one episode we'll rank high school football uniforms. The longer this goes, the longer we're going to have just ranking random stuff.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I really like Matter Days and Mission Viejo in Southern California. I think they both, just St. John Bosco also out in LA has really good uniforms.
I wouldn't know. We'll have to, that would be, again, one that would be very interesting to listen to. So we'd have to like put images in the notes or something.
Yeah, we'd have to figure something. I don't like Pinnacles in Arizona. I don't like theirs. Matt, one signing that I really like for them is Corey Littleton. He's a linebacker. PFF has really high pass coverage grades on him. And more linebackers, because offenses, they're trying to do multiple things within personnel groups. So they're trying to be able to have in the same personnel group without subbing on and off, be able to have like an I formation, spread the ball out, have a couple tight ends all in the same package. So defense is what they're having to do more and more is with the same personnel, be able to adjust to that. So they're not having to sub on and off the field based on what the offense is doing with their personnel. So that's why guys like Derwin James for the Chargers are so valuable and Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson is so valuable because of their versatility. They can stay on the field and have different assignments. And because of that, linebackers like Littleton, who can cover really well, are getting more and more important because they're three down linebackers. They can stay on the field and be asked to cover running back, be asked to cover a slot receiver, maybe with some safety help. So I think that's going to help the Raiders. The problem is they're in the Kansas City. Chiefs division, so they're not going to win a whole lot. It's like in the division, I mean, but I think they could have they have two first round picks this year. They're probably going to use one of them on a wide receiver. I think they could be okay this year. I think they're another 10 win team possibility between Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota. You got to figure they get some good quarterback play at some point.
Yeah, no, I'm interested in Marcus Mariota because, you know, people seem to really, really like him coming out of college. I know Jameis Winston ended up going first, and that was pretty much I feel like, and I sometimes feel like this happens, I don't know why, but I feel like usually the experts agree on who should go number one, but then they all kind of agree that whoever goes number two is going to be better. And I, like, it's hard to explain, but I feel like that Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston year was a year that was a really good example of that. And
I thought Jameis would be better because I just figured there had to be some way, like there's no way he would have the same turnover ratio as he did in college. And I was clearly wrong about that because he clearly does. He threw 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions this year, first quarterback to do that. So that's why I thought Jameis would be better because I figured there's no way that he'd have that same turnover ratio. And it was an important lesson to me to learn that if you turn the ball over in college, you're going to turn it over in the NFL. But
right.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if Mariota can turn his career around in Las Vegas. And one more quick Raider signing, Matt. Jason Witten reuniting with John Gruden, the Monday Night Football team, is back together again in Las Vegas. I actually don't remember if they were together specifically on broadcast or not, but they both worked for Monday Night Football.
Oh, so is he going to be like a tight ends coach? Or
no, he's going to be a tight end.
Oh, he's going to be a tight end. Wait, what? Wait, yeah. Okay, so he played tight end for the Cowboys last year, right? Or did he not?
He did, yeah.
And the Cowboys decided they don't want him.
I guess.
I feel like that's not up to the Cowboys.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Like, I feel like if he's, like, he's like Kyle Beckerman. And if you don't watch the MLS, I'm sorry. But Kyle Beckerman, if he wants to stay until he's 53, then he's going to stay until he's 53.
Honestly, Witten is more synonymous with the Cowboys than Tom Brady is with the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. So people love Jason Witten. People, like, talk about him so much. He's probably, I don't want to say he's overrated because he gets because he does, you know, have all these records and he is in there in the all-time rankings because he's does because he's really healthy, and the Cowboys teams usually do really good in the regular season before they choke in the playoffs. But like, I think the Cowboys elevate him more than any other fan base elevates their best player above what they should be. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So yeah, that seems weird to me that he wants to play and the Cowboys don't want him.
Yeah. Well, he's going to Las Vegas. Now let's get to Miami. There's one thing I want to talk about in particular. It does have to do with the Cowboys. But Byron Jones, Matt, the cornerback for the Cowboys, he was that cornerback out of Connecticut a few years ago who set the record for broad jump at the NFL Combine. 5-year, $82 million contract, $54.5 million guaranteed. Highest paid cornerback in the NFL. Dallas could have kept him or Zeke, and they kept the running back and not the cornerback. And I guess I'll never understand that.
Hey, if the Cowboys want to pay Zeke all the money in the world, that is fine with me. I am happy for that to happen. That is weird, though. Like, when we were in even high school, you would think a running back would have absolutely been more valuable than a cornerback. So that is kind of an odd thing to hear, but you're totally right. I mean, I would rather have the cornerback than the running back.
Yeah, cornerback is – it used to be cornerback pass rusher, but really we're finding – by we, I mean it's analytics. I'm not doing a lot of the work, but that cornerbacks are more indicative of – like pressure or like coverage or like bad quarterback rating than pass rush, because it's more dependent on the cornerback. And with pass rush, there's more variables mixed into it as far as like blocking and things like that. So cornerback is the most important position besides quarterback. Is this confusing enough for people, you think?
No, I think people are following along. I mean, basically the theory is that the quarterback doesn't have anybody to throw to. And I'm explaining this as I need to understand it myself because I don't know as much about football as you do. But the longer it takes the receivers to get open because the cornerbacks, the more the quarterback has to hold the ball, and the more time that the linebackers and the defensive linemen have to get to the quarterback. That's the gist.
Yeah, coverage. Right? Coverage is more valuable than pass rush. And the Dolphins, the only thing I think, because they need a quarterback, we all know that. I think I am excited to see what Josh Rosen does. I'm a big Josh Rosen believer. Here's what I want to happen for the Dolphins. I want them to trade a lot of their picks to next year, to the 2021 draft. They got Byron Jones. They need some players in place so that when they draft Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, they can just blow up and just be fantastic, because they need to take advantage of that quarterback on his rookie deal. So they can't just be absolutely terrible. They do need to have some sort of a foundation. So I don't mind these signings. I need them to be terrible next year, though, still, just so they can get that draft pick and draft Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, because I don't care about Miami other than I just want this experiment to work, which is weird because I didn't want the Sixers experiment with tanking to work.
Right, well, and the thing that I think is different about the Dolphins is, and I don't think really there's very many teams in the NFL that try to lose on purpose, certainly less than there are in the NBA, but I feel like that coach for Miami, he, and I forget his name, but he really, really wanted to win, like more than Brett Brown did, more than a lot of NBA coaches that I've seen. So I feel like if you're giving him those good players like you're saying they need to do, and I agree with you, I just don't think that the Dolphins are going to have it in their DNA to be able to lose. So I think if they're going to get one of those quarterbacks, it would be like what you said, where they have the draft capital to, you know, go up and pass a bunch of people to get one of those. I just feel like it's going to be hard for one of the top two or the worst two teams to pass up either of those two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Brian Flores is his name, the Miami coach. You know, we'll see what happens. But if they use the fifth pick on, let's say, Jeff Okuda, cornerback from Ohio State, Isaiah Simmons, if he's still available, maybe one of the offensive linemen, one of the great offensive linemen. There's about four tackles who are really solid. Let's say these fifth pick on one of those and not Tua, or don't trade up to get Tua, then they're betting that they're going to be in a position to get up next year to make that pick for Trevor or Justin. But honestly, also if Tua's medicals check out, you might as well just go with Tua because he's pretty fantastic. I think Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are both better, but Tua's pretty dang good. So if Tua's medicals check out, then you know it might be safer just to get Tua, you know.
Yeah, because you can't guarantee that you're going to be able to get Trevor Lawrence, or you know somebody could trade up ahead of you if you've got the third pick, you know. So
yeah, let's skip down a little bit. This is taking more time than I thought it would, which isn't a bad thing. New York Giants signed Kyle Fackrell and Blake Martinez, who are just regular linebackers, who nothing fancy. James Bradbury, they signed from Carolina. I think other than Bill O'Brien, Dave Gettleman is the worst general manager in the league.
Yep. That's probably fair. Dave Gettleman saying, and other people have talked about this, is people who play for Dave Gettleman teams really don't like him, which is a weird thing to not like your general manager, because I feel like you wouldn't be interacting with them too much, except when you're figuring out your contracts.
Yeah, they hate him. Steve Smith, when he left, ragged on Gettleman. D'Angelo Williams, the running back, who he's the one who dyed his hair pink in support of his mother, who had breast cancer, could not stand Dave Gettleman. Josh Norman complained incessantly about Dave Gettleman. And when have you ever heard any other team, like, player mention a general manager? Like, right. Even name.
Yeah, no, especially in football, because like every once in a while you hear a Jazz player talk about Dennis Lindsay. Some of the Rockets players I'm pretty sure have mentioned Daryl Morey, but I haven't heard about it in the NFL really at all.
Gettleman's one of those, he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. Like, so he traded a third round pick to the New York Jets to get Leonard Williams, who is a really good defensive tackle, but then they put a franchise tag on Leonard Williams this year. So he's going to make more money than Aaron Donald is this season.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Doesn't it? Sometimes it's simpler than you make it out to be. Sometimes it's just pretty simple, you know?
Yeah.
Man, let's get to your team. Here's the most interesting thing about the Eagles that I've found. We all know their secondary is just a disaster.
Yeah.
They signed Jalen Mills. They kept him, but he's going to move to safety. They released Malcolm Jenkins, or didn't re-sign Malcolm Jenkins. I actually forgot if it was released. I think it's just they didn't re-sign him.
The thing that I read said released.
So they released Malcolm Jenkins, moved Jalen Mills to safety, and I think they're having fan tryouts for corner is last I heard, just because there's, I don't even know how many people on the roster they have listed at cornerback. They'd be so good if they just had a cornerback.
Yeah, this, you know, we have talked about the two reasons that this is important. So there's not, I don't know how much more need we have to hash this out, but as you said, cornerback is the most important position besides quarterback. We've got a really good quarterback. Got several very good receivers. Our front seven is great. I mean, our front seven is great. We've got Fletcher Cox. We've got Brandon Graham. And then we just can't figure out, like, we can't trade for a corner. We can't draft a corner. I don't know what the problem is. And then release Malcolm Jenkins. Like, you don't release Malcolm Jenkins. Like, I can't think of a good analogy. Like, the Warriors wouldn't release Draymond Green. You know, I don't know how much Malcolm Jenkins was making. I don't know how much it makes sense to keep him. But, like, the Warriors would probably do better if they didn't have to pay Draymond Green a max salary. But he's just the heart of the team. And Malcolm Jenkins, you know, different than Draymond Green, was, like, absolutely the best player in the secondary. Obviously, he was a safety and not a cornerback. But you don't release the captain of the team. Like, how do you release the captain of the team? It's like, remember that Foot Locker commercial when James Harden was like, oh, I'm sorry about what happened. He's talking to Landon Donovan. He's like, sorry about what happened this summer. Landon Donovan's like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, didn't you get cut from the World Cup team? And Landon Donovan's like, they can't cut me. I'm the captain. That's how I feel. And it makes me sad. And that's basically all that I feel about it, is just sad. And I've kind of accepted that we're not going to do very good this year because we can't figure out how to get a cornerback. I don't know why we can't get a cornerback. We just can't get a cornerback, and now we've cut the captain, and we're just going to be bad. And so I'm sad, is what I have to say. And so that, thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
You know, here's what's going to happen with the Eagles. So they have first round pick in the 21st. They have a second round pick, 53rd. And then they got 2 third round picks, 2 fourth round picks. Out of those, they actually have 3 fourth round picks. If they don't have like one receiver and 2 cornerbacks out of those 6 or 7 picks, then it's a failed draft. They need at least to draft 2 receivers and 2 cornerbacks. I think in the first round, they'll probably go in the 20, unless there's any trades, but Henry Ruggs won't be available by then, the receiver from Bama, but they could get Justin Jefferson from LSU, Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. I don't think Chenault is as good a fit there, but Laviska Chenault from Colorado might be available. And then in the second round, maybe, depending on what happens cornerback-wise, but Jalen Johnson from Utah, A.J. Terrell from Clemson at cornerback, Christian Fulton from LSU at cornerback. And then, honestly, later on, get K.J. Hamler, get Michael Pittman, get one of these other receivers. Trevon Diggs from Alabama at cornerback. They need to be getting – I think if they go receiver, corner with their first 4 picks, I think that'd be a solid draft for Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, I think so too. They have to figure out – what really frustrates me about the Eagles is that, you know, for years, I felt like the team was just doing the best they could. And they've just really underperforming teams is really what's disappointing. And this team, it almost seems like to be underperforming. Obviously, they don't have the corners, but a lot of it is just for lack of effort. So, you're right. You know, maybe if we do get Jalen Johnson on one side, maybe we can find somebody who can be serviceable on the other side. And maybe we can't, he can be good. But I feel like, you know, once, are we already paying Carson Wentz? I know that we signed him to a big contract extension, but are we paying him all that money now, or does he have one more year on his rookie deal?
I thought we're already paid by we. I mean, you are already paying him. I can check real quick.
Yeah. See, I feel like now that we're paying him, it's going to be hard to, you know, get another Super Bowl. I don't know. Maybe we do. Maybe we do get someone like Jalen Johnson, who I like a lot, and it works out. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but
you know, I
don't feel like you cut the captain.
I think, well, you, I can't believe I'm spacing on his name, but your defensive tackle, who's just a monster.
How am Fletcher I Cox?
Fletcher Cox is unbelievable. Derek Barnett, defensive end, who was drafted out of Tennessee a little bit ago. He's really good. Like, your defense is solid. You can figure out the secondary, get a little better at offensive line.
We also lost Jason Peters, which is very, very sad.
The path is there. It's a difficult path, but the path is there for Philadelphia. The division sucks, if that helps you feel better at all. We got time for one more team. So we saved the biggest for last, I guess, is how it worked out. We didn't do this on purpose, but Tom Brady signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I guess, what were your initial reactions when that happened?
Well, I guess what's weird about it is that, like, well, actually, this is a really good example. Like, I feel like, you know, Tom Brady was on the Patriots, and the Patriots were not good when he was there, but he has given the Patriots a certain amount of respectability. You think of the Patriots, and it's like, oh, this is one of the best franchise in the NFL. And I feel like that's what happened with Michael Jordan. I believe that the Bulls had not won a championship before Michael Jordan got there. And if they did, they had not won very many. And then when he left and went to go to another team, he went to the Wizards. It's like, really? The Wizards? Like, the Wizards, who are kind of a joke franchise? I feel like that about the Buccaneers. Like, I know they went to the Super Bowl a little bit, but they seem like a cartoony team. I think that they might. So I said that the Raiders had the most overrated jerseys in the NFL. I think the Buccaneers have the worst jerseys in the NFL, and this shouldn't be important, but they just, like, it's hard for me to take them seriously because of it. And they're from Florida, and we all like to laugh at Florida. So it just seems like a weird spot. I know football-wise it makes a lot of sense, but it just, like, that's not the team that I would have picked. It's like if Kobe Bryant ended up playing for the Kings. It's like, really? He went to play for the Kings?
Yeah, luckily, Matt, the Buccaneers are getting new uniforms this year. They haven't released uniforms, but they're coming out with new uniforms.
Well, they better improve.
Orange scheme, yeah, but... Here's what's interesting about Tampa Bay. I wanted Tom Brady to go. I was hoping San Francisco, you know, come back home. But he'll be throwing to Mike Evans, who he played with Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M, played basketball, didn't start playing football until I think his junior year of high school. And he's just an athletic freak, just knows how to read the ball well. He's a great receiver, good route runner, so it's not just that. But that's like when you think Mike Evans, you think just ball skills is what you think of. Just he's going to – get to the ball before you do. Chris Godwin out of Penn State is one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. Kind of underrated because he plays in Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston, but has really good stats, just knows how to get open. And O.J. Howard, who came out of Bama a couple years ago, was really non-existent last year, but he was the best tight end in his draft class. His offensive weapons are going to be better than they were in New England last year. I don't know how good the defense is going to be. I don't know if they'll be able to beat New Orleans or Atlanta or even Carolina with Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know how good 43-year-old Tom Brady is going to be, you know, because unless the offense switches up a bit, it's a lot of drop back, deep pass type of offense. And I don't know how strong 43-year-old Tom Brady's arm is going to be. So it's just kind of – I think it's just one of those things we're not going to talk about with Brady's year in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very weird seeing him in a different jersey, but I think they're going to be good. I think, you know, what I think is going to be really fun is that we get to see him go against Drew Brees twice. And so I'm probably picking Drew Brees in both those matchups, but those are not players that we have gotten to see play together hardly at all, because not only they're in different divisions, they're in different conferences, I think they call them in the NFL. And so I think getting those matchups, that's going to be very, very fun.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it'll be exciting. You know, just switching it up, because a lot of these play usually in the NFL, like quarterbacks, they stay in the same place, and we're seeing a lot switch up. So it's going to be interesting to see. And hopefully this corona stuff gets figured out, and the NFL will just have a normal season at that point. Matt, any kind of thoughts on free agency before we wrap up that I didn't mention or anything?
I don't think I have anything. What I will say, you mentioned that you were hoping that he'd go to the 49ers. That makes sense. As a 49ers fan, I wanted him to go to the Colts. I think that would have been very, very fun just to watch Indianapolis fans try to figure out how to cheer for this guy.
Yeah. No, we'll see. It's definitely going to be exciting, I think. I can't wait for football. I can't wait for any sport to get back, honestly. So...
Oh my gosh, seriously. Yeah, I was telling our brother Jesse and our mom today that, like, if the Olympics doesn't happen, I will have missed two out of the last three Summer Olympics, because me and you were not living in the country for 2012 in London, and I would be just furious about that. I'll be furious if they cancel the Olympics.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, and I mean, that's going to be August, so, you know, maybe it's calmed down, but, like, it's going to be interesting to see, like, how are the NFL players going to be able to do it? And if they only approve it in, like, July, like, we're not really going to be able to have an Olympic trials for the track team. So do we just pick people with the best times and stuff? So it's going to be, I think it's going to be really hard if we can't start having any Olympic trials into May and June when we would usually do it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just wanted to get back to normal. And hopefully the NFL keeps giving us stuff to talk about, because that was kind of it.
Yeah, this is going to be the most overanalyzed draft of all time. Like, if you thought they overanalyzed the draft before, get ready, because we are going to talk about what kind of hats they're wearing, what that says about their personality, you know, what kind of shoes they're wearing, what they're doing with their hairstyles. We are going to get into all of it.
I'm excited. Yeah, no, I would want to talk next week. We'll do the sports movies. We'll argue about Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, maybe. I'm on Team Rudy. We'll figure some stuff out. If you have any ideas, let us know. Yeah, this is Double Take with Matt and Jake. If you're listening at this point, you already know that. But please subscribe, rate, review. Really appreciate it. I like going on there and seeing there's one more review or one more comment. So it's really fun for us. Appreciate it. Let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about, and we will talk to y'all next week.